Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 653. I am Chris, not joined by Tony. He is off concert going, or joining, you know, he's joining in with the new speaker of the house. Who knows what he's doing? But Earl is here.
Howdy. I was going to say, I'm throwing my hat in for when we, you know, we need to secure a new speaker in like a month. But we shall see.
We will keep your name on file for.
I mean, you know, there's a few more rounds of ballots they can go through.
They certainly went with presentable crazy, but still crazy. So Jeff is here as well.
They went with who? Who's that? Never heard of him.
Yeah, basically. But
yeah, he's apparently nuts too.
Yep, absolutely kooky.
He's store brand crazy. You know, it's not, it will get the job done the same crazy, just without the name brand. It is the Stop and Shop cornflakes.
Yes, that's exactly. Like, he is not, you know, he's not Lauren Boebert or Marjorie Taylor Greene or Jim Jordan or. Like, Jesus Christ, the fact that there's like just a laundry list of crazy people that you can name now, it's kind of depressing, but.
But he's appealing enough to them.
Did yes. They vote for him? Oh, no, because he's absolutely batshit bananas as well. he believes that, you know, the Earth is only 7,000 years old. He's a creationist. I guess he was part of that plan to not vote for, like, not
he was apparently
certify Biden.
Apparently he was a ringleader of that.
Oh, even better.
Yes, and I think that's the thing. It's that stuff coming out. And again, that's why he's store brand. Like, he's a lot of the craziness. He's not that different than Jim Jordan. It's just that Jim Jordan was very a known quantity and a toxic brand. This is just repackaging him. And a name that people don't know yet.
Yeah. It's like, oh, we can't get Jordan through because he's a very visible crazy person. We're just going to put through this non-visible crazy person. I like your description. Stop and Shop crazy cornflakes. So. Enough about the meltdown of American politics. Some not much in the way of news, but there were some reviews of stuff came out this week. Alan Wake, I think, launches
tomorrow. Well, the 27th, because this comes out Saturday, but yeah.
So it'll be out by the time you're listening to this, but that reviewed very well, much better than I was actually expecting.
Yeah, and, I think I commented in joke that you can literally just have a Game of the Year contendership over the last 7 days between Spider-Man 2, Super Mario Wonder, and Alan Wake, all like 90 plus games in a 7 day span.
Yeah, I was not I think everybody was kind of like, oh, you know, Mario's going to score real well. Spider-Man's going to score real well. Remedy is... They're good. I like Remedy. I've never disliked a Remedy game, but they always seem to have some sort of technical jank to them that holds them back a little bit.
They made Control, did they?
They made Control, yeah. Which I liked a lot.
It's had Alan Wake DLC.
Yep. They made a ton of stuff, but like they did the original Max Payne's.
What is the one they did between Alan Wake and Control that they don't own anymore? I think Microsoft don't.
Quantum Break.
Yes, there we go.
That was it was when Microsoft was in their hybrid media phase. So like that game was like there's like a lot of gameplay, but then the cutscenes were like actual TV episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Did you like that? Named it. Yeah, it was pretty good. Like, it played real well. Named actors, like, I think, well, Lance Henriksen's in it. Not Lance Henriksen. Lance Reddick. There was some other, like, part of the, like, you know, boy heartthrob, like Dawson's Creek or something was in it or something like that. Yeah, I thought it was, it's a fun game. So I like Remedy stuff, but they've always been a little bit janky. So I was very surprised by the reviews.
Like I said, I was surprised by Mario and Spider-Man. Not that I didn't think they would review well, but again, I was thinking like they'd be like mid to high 80s. I wasn't expecting 390 plus games in
no
span of a week.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, because Spider-Man and Mario basically released the same day, and then
a week later. Could have spread this shit out a little bit.
Right?
The fuck?
Well, now, because like, I was going to get Spider-Man tomorrow, because I haven't gotten it yet. But then Alan Wake 2 reviews hit, and like everyone's like, this is great. I'm like,
and that is not on Game Pass.
It's not on Game Pass, no.
Okay.
So I was like, I think I'm going to go out. I was going to wait on Alan Wake 2. Now like, I think I might wait on Spider-Man, at least till I finish Alan Wake 2. I think that's where I'm going this week. Less surprising review-wise, the reviews for Five Nights at Freddy's.
The movie.
The movie, yes. Which is it Paramount? Is it on Paramount?
Peacock.
Peacock.
It's so weird. I assume because of the that is because everybody gets those two confused always. Like, it's not just you. I feel like everybody always says it's either Peacock or Paramount. And I'm like, I assume it's because it starts with P and they're probably both niche. But I always find it so fascinating. Those are the two that everybody always confuses.
And I have both. Like, you'd think I would know what's on which one, but.
Yeah, I can keep them separate easily because I don't have Paramount, so I know what's what is what.
Fair enough. Like,
one has a bunch of Star Trek, and the other one has a bunch of movies you may or may not have heard of,
and WWE,
which is why I had it.
That's I keep it around because like I only watch wrestling like three times a year, but.
Yeah, for like, I mean, as long as they don't jack, because I mean, right now I'm on the deal. I think it was $250 a month for a year, because they usually do it around WrestleMania, and then I'll cancel, and then they'll do another one near WrestleMania. Like, oh, they get. Well, I hope everybody's trying to save money now.
Yeah, I should really just like start canceling some of these. Like,
I really need to, but then like I always find something that
exactly
like. They do like trickle out the content in a way that's like I'll be like, ah, fuck Netflix, and then all of a sudden Netflix has like a bunch of movies that are new, like their new series that I want to see, and so I never escape out of any of them.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, I should get rid of. I'm not using Shudder, and then I like go to like not like they're just about ready to press no on it, and then they're like, we're dropping a new movie, and it's like.
They actually have a movie coming out tomorrow that's supposed to be really good and disturbing. Did you hear about it?
I've not, no, but I'll watch it.
It's called When Evil Lurks. Like, it's got a, I think it's a foreign language film. I can't remember what language, but like, yeah, I guess it the movie has like real buzz, like outside of. The Shudder community.
So I didn't know it was coming to Shudder. It actually was at my theater, and I was like, that looks cool, and I just didn't get a chance to go see it. But
yeah, it's supposedly disturbing. I'm guessing it's like this year's Speak No Evil or whatever that like disturbing one that came to Shudder last year was.
I think. Mm. Oh wait, I sorry, I was thinking of Just Talk to Me. Like that was out this year, but.
That was not shut. I think that's coming to Netflix actually, like very quickly.
I mean, okay, so this has nothing to do with video games. It does to an extent, but you know, like the whole purpose of Netflix, the reason everybody bought into it was like, oh, you finally get to like watch all your shows in one place, And now we're in the opposite where we don't know Peacock from Paramount. And you have to, like, I have an app on my phone literally to be like, what streaming service can I find this movie on?
Yep.
Because I'm not going to comb through like a dozen streaming services in hopes of finding it. And it's just like, this is, I mean, in some ways, I think it's worse than cable because it's so, at cable, you had one guide. Like everything's so fractured. It's like, am I going to scroll through Netflix for half an hour or Peacock or Max? Or, well, I don't use Disney. Disney Plus is only when I go to when I know what I'm going to watch because I watch certain stuff on Disney. But I'm like, yeah, it's like the spooky season is a good example. When I want to watch a horror film, I'm like, I start on one of these apps. I'm like, oh, nothing draws my attention. Let me go to, and I will spend an hour trying to find a movie. Because there's so many and there's no way to like, search them all. Like, oh, I'm in the mood for this. Let me just see what's on all the streaming services.
Yeah, because like you bring up like Netflix's horror section, which is anemic, and you scroll through and don't find anything. So then you check Hulu and then you check Peacock, and it's brutal. And it's rough, like, because some they all have different restrictions on how, like, to utilize their stuff via mobile. So, like, some stuff can be downloaded, some stuff can't.
Yeah. Some now you need to like have a certain tier to download. It's too much.
Which I ran into that while I was traveling over the weekend. It was like I had to download stuff in different apps, even though like there was crossover, like the movies I wanted to watch were on, like I could have watched them all on one, but they didn't allow me to download some of them there. It was annoying. Anyway, Five Nights at Freddy's, not good on the review side. It's holding a 25% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I am shocked.
I mean...
I had someone try to tell me that those games are good and scary, which I always thought, weren't those games like a joke? I don't even know. I guess I have no idea really what
it is. I've never played them, so.
I've never played them either. From what I gathered, and you know, this is totally fair, it feels like they were horror. It's kind of like, to date ourselves, it's kind of like Are You Afraid of the Dark? You watch Are You Afraid of the Dark as an adult. That's scary. They're kind of goofy and cheesy. But as a kid, as a teen, it was really frightening. And I feel like that's what Five Nights at Freddy gets at. It's like, it's really good horror for its demographic. But its demographic skews younger than a general purpose horror film.
Well, that makes sense. It wasn't a younger person telling me this.
I mean, I love the concept, right? Like, I mean... Chuck E. Cheese, but it seems like multiple, not just Five Nights at Freddy's, have tried to do that and they've not succeeded in the film realm. So.
What? I mean, I get maybe we'll have a debate on it. I like where he's Wonderland.
I didn't.
Ah.
You have Nick Cage, man. Fucking, you're not gonna have him talk.
Stupid. I thought that was the best part.
Stupid. I didn't care for it. Chris, did you see Willy's Wonderland?
No, because like it was so mixed on it, and I was like,
oh, "I'll get to like later." Earl
seems to like it. Yeah. It just seems like a mixed reaction from these types of game, these types of films. Though, cause, like, there's another one too. I'm trying to draw a blank on the name of it. But a similar, I think, similar in concept.
I had a. Former coworker texting me today. He's like, what was that movie that was like about like a killer Chuck E. Cheese place, you know, like way before Five Nights at Freddy's? And I was like, the only one I can think of is this Nick Cage movie called Willy's Wonderland. And he's like, no, it was from like a long time ago. And then he gets back to me like an hour later. He's like, I guess it was Willy's Wonderland. I thought that. I'm like, dude, do you not remember Nick Cage? And what are you talking about, dude? Anyways, long story short.
But
someone was asking me about this today.
I haven't seen it, but I've also heard that. Is it the Banana Splits?
The Banana Splits is one that is. Like, I mean, that's more of like a kids' TV series gone bad, but.
He specifically said to me when he asked the question to not banana splits, and I had no idea. I still don't know what the fuck banana splits is. So I was like, I don't know, dude. Like, Willy's Wonderland is the only one I can think of. I mean, I feel like it sounds like a concept that should have been done before.
So I've also not seen Banana Splits, but also it's not that old, right? It's only like that.
Yeah, I don't know where it was.
But Banana Splits is like, what if Sesame Street were bad? Like, right. what if the characters on Sesame Street went evil?
And it was a cool concept.
Like,
it was a movie about a TV show.
Yeah, I guess it was. I'm looking at the Wikipedia right now. It's a horror reimagining of Hanna-Barbera's 1968 children's television show, The Banana Splits.
Oh, so wait, you folks didn't know about the show?
No.
Oh, okay. I knew about it when it was... Is it Kick-Ass? Well, I watched the show when I was younger. I used to come on Cartoon Network. But it's like,
I've definitely heard that.
The Banana Split song.
That's the Banana Split song.
I believe it says it in the words. It's like the one banana, two banana, three banana, four, five bananas. Yeah, the Banana Split song. Na 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 na.
Yeah, so I mean, Jeff, we probably saw it on like Saturday, I mean, probably Earl as well, right? It was on like Saturday morning cartoons, and that's where it filtered in.
I recognize that tune, so I guess I feel like that's from something else, but whatever.
You might have heard it in other things. I might have been it was.
They've sampled that, especially that na 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 part.
Yeah,
in other things.
But yes, to say that, like, that it's sad because I have a friend who's like really excited, so we're watching it on Saturday on Peacock. Wow, just talking about people confusing that.
Five Nights at Freddy's or the Banana Splits movie?
Five Nights at Freddy. Give me one second, I'll be right back.
Yeah. I'm gonna watch Five Nights at Freddy's. I was not expecting anything of it, although I think the Henson Company did the puppets or the animatronics for it. So at least, like, I get that out of it.
I'll watch it. I got Peacock, but yeah. Top priority is to ruin me and Melissa's life probably tomorrow watching When Evil Lurks.
That's fair. This is certainly more like, I mean, it's PG-13, so it's not going to ruin anybody's life. But...
That's a disappointment.
Yeah. Not that you just spend a whole lot of time talking about movies, but while I was traveling, I downloaded some movies and I finally got around to watching The Invitation. Not The Invitation that you and I watched, Jeff.
I thought you saw that.
I did. I saw that one. But there's a new one that came out last year.
Oh, that bombed, that was like in and out of theaters in a week.
Very quickly. It's a vampire movie, which they don't really reveal at all.
I feel like I got that. I feel like that's what I thought it was.
I did not know it was like a vampire movie, and also the vampire stuff is like in the last 5-10 minutes of the movie. It's rough, and I think that like conceptually it could have been something really cool, but they go with a PG-13 rating, so even when shit pops off, like, doesn't do it in a satisfying way. It's just,
and you say it holds off on the vampire shit to like the last 15 minutes.
It is very late in the movie.
So what is it? The whole movie is her just being like, something ain't quite right type thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, I mean, that can work, right? Like, but then it's like, hey, like, you're marrying into a family of, you're basically marrying into Dracula's family. Like, you're going to be a bride of Dracula. And they don't reveal that until like the last act of the film. It's like, oh, Okay. And then they don't do anything with it. It's a little disappointing.
I rewatched the Dr. Sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Question for you. Do you consider that like a vampire story? Or are those creatures something else entirely? A new creation by Stephen King? Or are they like something that's existed in folklore before? They seem like vampires to me.
They're certainly vampiric. But I mean, it's like all this shit exists in King's universe. And like there are real vampires in King's universe.
So they're like slightly different type.
Yeah, there's some other sort of vampiric creation, I would think. But neat. Like I love the monster that they've created there and how they interact. And
yeah, I really, really enjoyed that movie a second time. And I watched the director's cut, which is like a half hour longer. So it's like three hours long. I'd say worth it if you like that movie.
Yeah, I mean, I liked the book and I liked the movie when I saw it.
Used to be on HBO. You could watch the director's cut, but I had to buy it to watch it.
Oh, so it's not there anymore. Got it.
It would be like when you go into a movie and what did I say it was on?
It's HBO.
It was on Max. HBO Max. Yeah, you would go under and it would be in extras. So like you'd be looking at the Dr. Sleep page and you'd go down and in extras would be like the director's cut. It was like hidden.
Huh.
But that's not like it's not there anymore, as far as I could tell. Like I tried doing that. I tried just searching Dr. Sleep on there, and the only thing that comes up is the regular version.
Well, I wonder if I haven't updated it on my Xbox. So it shows how often I use HBO Max. But yeah, like they updated it from HBO Max to Max itself.
Yeah, I know.
I wonder if they got rid of that features and stuff. Like I think.
Could be.
I use the Max app on my phone, and I think it's shittier than the old HBO Max app.
It is, especially because, like, I don't know, he's big on to like the buckets, but I just have like the hubs and stuff. Now it has like my, it's like search, home, and account. I think it's like you can't go to the hubs. You can't just have. Yeah, I don't like the new app at all.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Maybe they just got rid of it when they did that, Jeff. Anyway, yeah.
What are we talking about? What is this podcast?
We stumbled out. That's my fault. I brought up Five Nights at Freddy's in the reviews. Earl and I will watch it this weekend though, and maybe bring back how it is.
I'll get to it.
No assassins. Go ahead, Earl.
Oh no, I was gonna say as a quick aside because. On a tangent, have any of you watched the new Castlevania?
I have not yet. I should. I really love Castlevania as a, you know, as a series. So I should watch the new anime, but I have not yet. I hear good things about it, though. But
yeah, I'm like halfway through. I'm enjoying it. But yeah, I was like, I feel like, and again, I feel like. The anticipation or the isn't the same as like when it, I think because it's a known quantity, it's like still a really good show. And I think people expect that after three seasons.
Right.
So.
All right. I had Assassin's Creed Mirage listed here, but I thought Tony was going to be here. He finished that, but he'll talk about that next week. I guess we should jump into the two big games, though, of the last week. We'll start off with Super Mario Brothers Wonder, which I believe we've all played a bit of.
Yeah, Earl?
I played some of it, yes. I only started playing it today because I finally got tired of waiting for my TV, and I'm like, I'm just going to put it on my monitor. But yes, I played through the first What is it? Royal Seed?
Yeah, so like you beat the first castle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, and then what about you, Chris?
I thought it was on the second world. The second world is not the second world. It's like a weird hub land. And so I beat that little mini area, which is like Petal Island or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started the second world.
Wow, I'm the furthest in this game?
I mean, I did not get my copy. I did not buy it. I waited until I got home, so I did not get it till Tuesday.
I'm shocked. Did you have your Switch with you?
I did have my Switch with me.
I would have. That shit would have been fucking downloaded pretty quick.
So
I don't know if I have no willpower. I buy every game.
I will say this. I brought my Switch with me. I did not turn it on the entire time.
I mean, that is how it goes.
So like if I had turned it on, I may have been tempted to just buy it, but I ended up not playing anything on my Switch. I just like fucked around on my phone. Airplanes suck, man. Like,
yeah. do you get scared on them like me or no?
No, it's just
don't like it.
I mean, Earl is taller than I am, so, I can't imagine it's super comfortable for him to fly either.
Nope, especially when those dickweeds in front of you are like, I'm going to put my seat back, even though there's no leg room here for me to begin with. So you have fun with that.
Yeah. and if you end up getting a middle seat, that's even worse because like you can't shift yourself at all.
I will say I hate this so much. But and when I fly, especially depending if it's over an hour, hour and a half, which are most flights, I will always pay that stupid fee to pick my seat.
Yeah,
because I do not want to end up getting a middle seat or worse for me, a window seat, because it's like I've used the aisle seat because it's just a little bit more room I can stretch out when they're not bringing food. Mm-hmm. The middle seat, I would just be too cramped. So I'm like, I'm going to pay. I hate that I'm going to pay you the $50 or whatever to make sure I don't get a middle seat. Because, again, if it's like 2 hours, I can suck it up. But like anything longer than that, I'm like, no, if I'm going to give you that money because I need that room. I feel cramped and it's not claustrophobic, but it just feels so uncomfortable. Because then you can't even like move. Like your knees are just kind of there. You can't like stretch it out either way.
But, yeah, because you got the wall, you got the plane wall to the one side. I can at least kind of like tilt myself a little bit. I'm a little bit shorter than you, so I can like make myself a little bit more comfortable if I have a window seat. But I prefer the aisle seat. But there's no room to do anything.
I mean, just movie theater going. I always choose the aisle. I always sit at the edge because I want to be able to get in and out.
You get up and like go to the bathroom, go like smoke or something too.
Yeah.
I'm a weirdo. I always like if I can pick my seat, I always pick like the same seat.
Oh yeah. Me too. It's just always it's the same row. It's at the end. I have a certain spot that I choose, and if that's taken, I sit on the other side, like of the same row.
I was going to be curious. I mean, since we're on trains, we're on all types of tangents. Do you folks I always try to be like one of the last people to board the train. I know people who rush. I'm like, why are you rushing?
Oh, I don't want to be. I want to be on last.
Like, you're standing there like with all these people fucking around with their fucking bullshit.
Oh, I don't even stand. I'm like, I'm going to sit in my ass when they're like, you know, like ass call, you say,
please. No, I'm saying if you are like not one of the last people on, like you're trying to get on, it's just like the fucking chaos of people like trying to shove like shit into the fucking overhead.
Well, so you got that, and then you have like if you're on first, like, and you are the aisle seat, then it's like you have to wait for the other two clowns to show up and sit down. Then you have to get up, move into the aisle so they can sit down. Then they sneer at you because they're like, oh man, this dude is big. He's going to be like leaning on me. And it's like, well, fuck off, man. You're not any smaller. I try to be last on the plate. Also, I think it's crazy that these people like line up like as soon as they start. We're now starting the boarding and they all line up. It's like, where are you? Like, it's not going anywhere for 45 minutes. Calm down.
I would say with landing, everyone thinks they're getting off in like 10 seconds. Like,
You
might as well just fucking chill for a second because you ain't going fucking nowhere.
And that's the crazy thing, right? Like, there's a protocol to exiting an airplane, and it is the people in the front get off because they need it's just it, how it works.
It makes sense. Yeah.
So like you standing up in row 27, you're not moving anywhere. You're just standing and putting your butt in my face. Thank you.
But I was going to say, Chris, I am like you in that I'll bring my Switch with me on a trip and I end up not playing it at all. Like typically, and the only probably like time I would play it is like on the flight. But I'm so concerned with dying on the flight that I just like I'll turn the Switch on and I can't concentrate because I'm just like thinking about like every sound, every movement, and just imagining the most horrible death I could imagine. And so like I ended up not playing. Although there was one trip actually this year when we went on a cruise and we were like chilling in the room, I would like lay in bed and play. But
yeah, so I could see that.
Not,
typically we not. Didn't like. And I was like, I'm gonna play it on the airplane. That's like that was my exact thought. I'm gonna play it on the airplane. And but like, I have it in my you know my personal item. It's in my bag. And I was like, I gotta lean down. Like that's uncomfortable to try and get it out of the bag because you can't have it. I mean, I guess you can have it out when you're taking off, but it's you're just like carrying it. Switch is kind of like awkward. It's a little bit bigger than a normal anything. So like I have it in my bag and it's like, now I got to reach down, pull it out, got to find headphones for it because you can't play it without headphones on a plane or you can play it silent. Like who wants to do that?
Silent, yeah. But like, I mean, like my Switch to go case has a charger, the games, the Joy-Con things, and then it always has a pair of headphones because I assume like many people who kind of, I mean, I guess the Switch does it now, but a lot of people Switch to like Bluetooth headsets, and Switch was still one of those things where it's like, for the first few years, it was like, no, you still need headsets. I'm like, oh, it comes in handy when I travel though, because then like a lot of airplanes still do the wired ones, and they're not getting cheaper. Like they're trying to charge you to buy their cheap headphones that break as soon as you get off the plane because it's just a piece of wire.
It's like you leave the plane and they just disintegrate. Yeah, like so I don't know. I just did not turn my Switch on. And yeah. I'm kind of glad I didn't cuz then I came home and I had Mario here waiting for me. And so I'm as far as Earl, maybe a little bit further cuz I'm like through like that little hub area, but
some of the water stages.
Yeah, the dolphin, water levels.
I got the dolphin kick, and then I met the. Well, okay, I guess we can talk about the game.
Yeah.
Instead of all these other tangents.
Are we on video games now? 40 minutes into this podcast.
if you want to derail us, Jeffrey, right now, we'll talk some non-video games. But no, okay, so. I will say that I am enjoying. Okay, first thing first, and maybe this comes up later on. I don't know why it never clicked with me when I was seeing previews and stuff. It took me a while to realize there's no timer in this game.
No, I just noticed that today. I was like, I mean, I don't ever really come up against the timer when I'm playing a Mario game, but like sometimes you'll hit like 100 seconds and you start hearing the music speed up a bit, and I was like, I'm not hearing anything, and I'm kind of like exploring, trying to find these like what are they, seeds, wonder seeds.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not hearing anything, and then like I looked around, and it's not there. There's no countdown timer.
It's time to get rid of it, I think.
I mean, I don't disagree with that, and I'm not complaining or anything. I just found it was just like one of those things. I was playing, and I'm like, because I mean, I think this game does kind of encourage you to explore, and you'll get. But yeah, I was trained, and I think it was one of those stages where, because the big connection in this is like the Wonder Seeds, which are you know not really hidden. You get one for completing the level, and you usually get one for activating the Wonder Flower and completing that segment. But there are stages with like three of them where it's just like, oh, you can't get all three at once. I don't think. And
anyone, I guess I'm further than you guys, but I think three is the limit, right?
That's all I've seen. I've only seen three. Normally, like what Earl was referring to is like, at least from what I've played so far, is you get like the one that's in the level that like you kind of chase after, or it gives you like a kind of like a alternate world that you're doing some sort of challenge in. And the one I very specifically notice is like you're running along. It's a stampede of these like the buffalo forest type thing.
Yeah.
And they actually run over a flagpole. And I didn't think anything of it at the time, but then I was like, I'm missing one.
Yes. And that is exactly the one I went back to, because I'm like, curious, they destroyed the flagpole. And the one you end up on is so high up that I'm like, there has to have been a way to get that first one. And you just don't activate the wonder seed. So
I think it might only be three, or there may be ones that have more, but I've only seen three.
Are you guys saying the third one is an alternate exit type thing?
No, the alternate exit's slightly different. So if you go to a stage, because you can go back, or you can see it on the world map, there's the flag post that's the top. Then you have the one that sees it, tells you if it's two or three or whatever, or one. Because I think like some of the badges are one. And then if there's a circle underneath it, I think there's a circle behind it. I think the circle means you complete it. If you don't complete it, so I think that means there's a secret exit in that stage. Like, I haven't found it, but I assume there's a secret exit in the second stage of the first world, because that's not completed. The first one and the third and some other ones in the first world are completed for me. So I know I'm missing something in there. I just don't know what. I assume it's a secret exit. I got to find it.
And the game, as you said, it encourages it because there's no timer, so you can kind of poke around and try some things.
Yes.
So I'm. It's funny because I don't think I haven't played it in a few days, so some of it is kind of fuzzy for me. But I think I am, if not through World 4, I am in World 4.
Okay.
But yeah, it's like, I feel like I have a lot fresher in your memory, so I'm like, I guess maybe I really haven't. I've just been stuck playing Lords of the Fallen, even though I have all these other games. And strangely, Mario, like, as much, I will say this, spoilers, I'm liking it a lot. That kind of, like, has somehow fallen by the wayside with just with all the games. But I like it so far, guys. I don't know about you.
I like it a lot.
It feels fresh. Like, and it's just like little things like the animation and stuff. Like, it just feels slick.
There's some neat stuff with the animation, like where Mario go through a pipe and like his hat will fall off and like you'll see his hand come out and grab it.
Yeah.
Like some neat little touches like that maybe you don't notice, like, but if you are paying attention, you're gonna catch some things.
Everything about it feels slick and like modern, and it feels like something kind of new, even though, you know, we've been playing these games for fucking ever.
Well, what I was going to say earlier, and one of the things that I thought was so refreshing, is that they were just like, you know what, we kind of know what people expect from Mario, but outside of the original and probably two, this so far has had like the most new enemies that I've encountered in a Mario game in a long time. And it's not to say any of them are they're not necessarily like super different, but like, you know, you mentioned the bulwarks, which you can't really defeat, but you can ride them and you can use that to your advantage. Not just in the stampede, but like I think the main flagpole in that you have to ride one to get to the top of it. That's the only way to get it. I'm like, oh, that's a clever use of it. I just met the birds that kind of dive bomb you in the water stage.
Yep.
And they're really funny. There was, you know, like, again, to put in a fresh spin on an old enemy, the Koopa Troopers on Royal Blades. Was a really cute touch. That same stage with the diving birds has, I don't know the names yet, but like that fish, that's kind of like the eel from Super Mario 64, but the one that digs underneath the water and then shoots
itself up.
Yeah. And again, I like that it's not just like, I mean, calling a spade a spade. Outside of like bosses, and even then, that's like most of the enemies in Mario games have never really been much of a threat. But I do like how they are used in ways to make the platform and or the stage design better. Like those fishes, for example, you have to use them to break blocks, the bigger ones, so that Mario can get through in the Wonder segment to get certain. I don't know what the things in the Wonder Flower segments are called, but like the three or five things you have to connect to actually activate the Wonder Flower, Wonder Seed for that segment. Stuff like that, or like I said, for you use those bulls to kind of, you know, use them as the charging bulls to kind of open up paths or to get the purple 10 coin or whatever it's called for you in certain stages. I do like that it's fresh. It's like, oh, I don't know what to expect. I mean, spoilers, I think they did a good job of not telling people about this. But
the fact that we saw Elephant Mario, but that was kind of it.
Yeah, the second stage is just them being like usually in the second stage is like an underground stage. It's like, no, I actually haven't come to an underground stage yet, now that I think about it. And the second world's not a desert per se, but like the second stage in this game is literally like, we're going to take something you know, and we're just going to turn it on its head and have some fun with it. And it is very goofy and stupid, but it works. I don't want to say what it is because I think it's a fun surprise when you realize what it is. But
I could say because I don't remember.
It's the one with the singing.
Oh my god! I started laughing so hard.
See,
that was probably the best wonder effect. That was a wonder effect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It just, it felt like them, it just honestly, like, feels like they actually did effort in some, and I don't feel, like, I haven't felt that way about 2D Mario. I mean, we haven't gotten a 2D Mario in a long time, but...
In a decade? Is that right? Because I think, New Super Mario Brothers.
New Super Mario Brothers U was the last one, which...
Yeah, and that's 11 years old.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I liked that one. When it came out, I was like, this game... Because I still remember like being kind of disappointed that, oh, it's a 2D Mario as a launch game for Wii U. But I was like, well, of course I'm going to get it either way. And then being like, oh, no, the game is actually awesome. The last time I played it, like a year ago, I was like, it's okay. And what I've played of Wonder so far, I think, is better than you. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but this just feels... new, like, I don't know, like,
well they've done things to the formula, like, so it's still a Mario game, right? Like, you're still going from world to world, and in the world, each of the worlds has like levels to go through, but they've like changed things in a way that, like, so Mario now has special abilities that, like,
yeah, that's the other thing,
you've had them in the past, right? You could do things, but it's like you now have to make a choice, like, do you want Dolphin Kick, or do you want to be able to wall jump, or and there's like passive effects too, like you can pick up, I think there's one that like gives you like a power up right at the start, or
I use that one a lot. It gives you a mushroom to start,
yeah, or double, like a double coins or something like that. Like there's passive ones, there's ones that give you special powers, so that's kind of neat, because like you're then making a decision on like, how do I play this level, and also it allows them to make the levels replayable, because you know you might need one power to get two of the seeds, but then you'll need a different power to get a different one.
Just gonna say, and I could be wrong, it also doesn't seem like it seems like you can get creative and still complete stages.
Yeah,
you just have to be really, but like, yes, it helps. Like, there's one I got, which again, it's like the new games and 3D World, and then that's as well. Like, if you died enough time, they'd activate like a Tanuki, or they'd give you some like invisible Mario. So they kind of, because there's a badge where it's like, we'll add extra blocks to a stage so that it's easier for you not to fall off. We have not touched on this. I don't know if you folks have played online.
I have not.
But that the standee system also works very similar, where people put standees. So like if you die and you can get to one, you don't die, you don't lose that life. So it's a good way to kind of like encourage cooperation, but also a way for you to stay, you know, in the game. And it's also so fascinating because I thought it was going to be really dumb, and I don't necessarily disagree with myself, but I also find it somewhat charming. It is kind of like, the best way I could say, it's kind of like the Soulsborne kind of summon with the journey thing, where it's like you can play a stage concurrently with people, but you're not playing together.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, but they can drop standees. They can, like, if you die, if somebody, like, actively, I've done this where it's like somebody's died, you can jump to them and, you know, pop their bubble in their game. If somebody gets injured, you can give them your extra item. So, like, if somebody was like Little Mario, they died, I popped their bubble and I gave them my extra fire flower. And I'm like, it's such an interesting way of like, oh, I'm still helping them out. I'm doing my own thing, but I can help them out in their progress and then continue on the stage without paying them any mind. It also helps, like, some people can help give, you know, help you find, you're following them in real time. So like, maybe they can help find, give you, tell you where a secret is or something like that. And I find that very fun and fascinating.
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry.
No, go on.
No, I really wasn't going to say anything interesting. So if you complete your thought.
No, I was like, yeah, it's not playing with people, which I would kind of prefer, but I do like that. It's like the world's lived in, like other people are experiencing this at the same time as you. And it does make it feel more lively. And that you get little updates, like, you know, like, oh, Peach reached the goal. This person used your standee. This person popped, you know, like I popped this person's bubble. And I like, it gives you those little updates. I like how it is. Again, I would prefer a full on online, not with randoms, but like with friends, but I do think it's a very fun addition. And again, it doesn't distract or take away anything from your own experience.
Yeah, I haven't turned it on yet. I actually wanted to check it out before we recorded, and I just, you know, again, I forgot about the game for a couple of days. But there's just enough new things like everywhere that makes it feel fresh to me. Like, we kind of touched on them all, like the animations, the Wonder Seeds, the online, the badges, and I think the badges thing, you know, Chris already explained it. But it's almost like a minor RPG element. It's like you're getting to choose what you equip. You know what I mean? Type thing. Like it's neat. I don't know. I don't see my mind changing on it. You know, I'm probably halfway through. And the funny thing for me was I was like not excited for this game at all. I was debating not even getting it at all. But I'm liking it.
Yeah, you like last week. You're like, I'm gonna get Sonic, and like you were playing Sonic, and you seemed to like Sonic. And then you were like, I don't know, like this isn't doing it for me. But
I thought 2D Mario was stale. And I, again, believe me, I would prefer Mario Odyssey 2. Like, I want 3D Mario, but. But yeah, they somehow freshened up 2D Mario enough that I'm really enjoying it. I'm surprised by it.
One other thing. So, like, since you're a little bit further than us, how are the boss battles? I think Earl and I have only done one. And I thought that one was fun. Like, it was a neat. It was still a Mario boss level.
I thought the gimmick was interesting, but the boss battle itself is kind of meh.
Yeah, the battle was like you're still just jumping on Bowser Jr.'s head.
Yeah.
But I like that, like, so it was like, you know, the first one was like you're kind of jumping on him, then he goes through this wonder transformation and you are big and he is small.
Yes.
And then when you jump on it, it switches and then he is big and you are small, which makes like timing the jump different. In each way, I thought it was neat, like neat effects. It's not necessarily like a cool boss fight, but it lends to Jeff's point of like the animation being pretty cool.
Yes, but I thought, and I mean, I understand, But like, because like the middle segment, like you said, when you're big and you're small, if you jump and do a ground pound, it bounces it up. And I'm like, oh, you bounce it up and then you hit the shell. It's like, oh no, you just bounce it up and then he continues and then he has to get out. I'm like, oh, I thought it would have been fun if you mix it up where you had to attack him because you were, yeah. But yeah, it's an okay boss battle. It doesn't do anything special. So,
yeah. So are they pretty much the same from there, Jeff?
I wish I could say more definitively. Again, it's been a few days, so it's like my guess is since they're not sticking out in my mind that
yeah, the boss battles not are super still, special
because the boss battles in Sonic are sticking out in my mind, and the boss battles in Lords of the Fallen are sticking out in my mind, and I'm like drawing a blank on Mario. And again, it could just be that I'm a few days. I want to say I haven't played it in like probably 3-4 days, so you know it's just kind of faded a bit in my memory, but. I don't recall it,
more about the battles themselves, though, that just being more, I mean, animation wise maybe they're cool, but I think battle wise maybe Earl's right, they're just they're Mario battles.
I kind of feel, you know, if it is true that they're standard Mario boss battles, I feel like that would be one kind of minor disappointment with the game. Like, you have all this creativity with the Wonder Seed stuff. Like, I mean, you know, maybe you could incorporate something crazy into the boss battles or something new. I don't know, but
I feel like they always save the crazy boss for just a Bowser encounter at the end.
At the very end, yeah. They always do something really creative with that, and I just wish that they would do that, like, you know.
The mid-level, like the middle of the game.
Yeah, we're like, yeah.
And to be fair, and I, you know, I feel like it's because it's like, again, I absolutely love Super Mario Brothers 3 and World, but those boss battles are pretty much the same thing too.
That's what I'm saying though. It's like at some point, like that's something that can be improved. That maybe. You should.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't think. I mean, like, you go back to the original Mario, who had the same boss battle every world. I honestly think the one that had the creative one, and I think the one that doesn't get a ton of credit, at least for 2D games, is actually New Super Mario Brothers. Because they had, like, it was still three hits, but they had, like, the Monty Mole in the tank. They had the one where you had Geodo Mario and you had to bounce on the skeleton and stuff like that. They had a lot of fun and creativity with that. Where they brought back the Cooper Kids, I think, in the next one. And it's like, yeah, we're going to give you different patterns, but it's still the same. Like, just jump on their heads 3 times after their animation's finished.
I don't know. Maybe the boss battles are better here, but they're not sticking out. Because I don't think I've gotten stuck on any of them, and the other games I'm playing, I definitely got stuck, and I'm like, like, you remember that? You remember when you get stuck on a boss? Like, this, yeah, I'm just kind of plowing through it, I think.
Well, we all seem to be enjoying Super Mario Brothers Wonder to some degree, so very happy about that, and I'm sure we'll be talking more about it in the coming days. I believe that. Tony also got it, so when he returns, we'll have that to talk about as well. Earl, did you play anything other than Wonder this week? I know your TV has been tough.
But I did actually play it, and I just pulled up the name. Let me see if I can find it again. I know what game it was, so don't get me wrong. I just want to make sure I get the right name. Warhammer 40,000 Darktide.
Yes.
Yes, there we go.
So this is like the Left 4 Dead type, yeah, Warhammer 40K game.
I was not sure what to expect from this game. It was just one of those, like, oh, it's 4-player co-op. I always look for that to play with my friends. It's on Game Pass, so I always look for that to play with my friends. So, like, you know, it's one of those games where you have to do the tutorial before you get multiplayer. And then you get in, and it's so, because it is Left 4 Dead, but it is one of the better Left 4 Dead clones I played recently. Again, I do Back 4 Blood, but like, mm-hmm. I guess I was not expecting that, because it's like, it's class based. Like, you have 4 characters, and they each have like 1 or 2 special abilities. Like, the person I'm playing is a psyker, So like you can charge up and you can insta kill most enemies with like a head blast. It does take like 3 or 4 seconds, and like they, you know, like you're kind of exposed. But like with a good group, it's very easy to kind of navigate that. Like one is like the tank who kind of does a bull rush and like made people. So it's a weird thing where it's because like again, one of the reasons that Fedead works is like all the characters are the same, no matter who. But I mean, they have stats like some faster and stuff, but they're roughly the same type. They don't have anything special,
right?
Differently. Right. And then you're playing it. I didn't expect it to be so religious. You're trying to take out the heretics for the emperor, and I'm like, oh, this seems kind of gross. That said, I am having fun with it. I think mostly because it's a game that, again, I guess kind of like Left 4 Dead, that kind of encourages melee a lot more than it encourages like shooting. You get one gun, you get finite amount of ammo, and the ammo is scarce on the stage, and it is shared. So like,
oh,
if you find an ammo canister, whoever grabs it, grabs it. It's not like everybody gets it, so... I've ever been playing with randos. It's not the best because like the randos will just run up in places and just like grab whatever they see.
They're going to take care of themselves.
Yep. You find health stations along the way that, you know, they have finite uses. I assume that's probably skewed to the number of players. But like, yeah, so if somebody comes, uses it, takes some more damage and uses it, that screws over somebody else. There, you know, there's stuff like that. They have their specials. Like they have the trapper, which is somebody who like traps you and pulls you backwards. They have a, you know, flame, somebody who shoots fire, somebody who shoots like poison, and it's, then they have boss encounters. So far, again, having fun, but like so far the game itself, I think played through fan random, no real rhyme or reason. There's a story going on, but like the stages are just like pay a stage, level up, and I think it's kind of similar to Exo Primal as you level up certain stuff unlocks. So it's not necessarily driven by like, oh, you know, like you pay to stage one, here's stage two. It's like, oh, you've reached trust level 4. Now we're going to tell you about this thing. Next thing you have to do is reach trust level 8, and then I'll find out what's going on there. But yeah, I do want to get more time into it. It's an interesting thing to play at to play co-op, and I would do it again.
Nice. How's the game look?
Dark.
It's a Warhammer game. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, good. I kind of want to check that out as well. So as long as it's running well, maybe I'll get to it at some point in the near future. Jeff will be right back. You didn't play anything else, right?
I mean, more Fortnite, but I'm always playing Fortnite.
Yeah.
And no, I don't think anything else because... Oh, no, I've been playing Kirby and the Amazing Mirror, because that was added to the GBA. I'm gonna be honest. I mean, it's fun for a Kirby game. I don't like the setup. It's a Metroidvania, and I just find it so confusing. Because I think the main purpose of a Metroidvania style game should be that the upgrades are permanent. And that's not the case with Kirby. That's never been the case with Kirby. So, like, in order to access certain stages and levels, it's basically like you have to find a power up, and then you have to get back to a place where you can, where you, the power up is needed without taking damage, or while keeping them. Because sometimes you run into more interesting powers and stuff like that. And I just feel like, yeah, because like it's a giant maze, and like we're just going kind of back and forth trying to figure out like how do we get from A to B. And then it's like, oh, you have to go someplace, and you got to see what you need, and you have to go back or find. I'm like, oh, this is not, like, we've done, like, it's weird. It's like you get bosses, and the bosses are just bosses sometimes. Like, they open doors, which leads back to the hub and stuff like that. But I'm also like, oh, you would think a boss, okay, not the boss, at least the end of the stage. It's like, oh, no, at the end of the stage either. So you have to find a piece of the mirror shard, and the mirror shards are hidden elsewhere. So like we have two pieces, even though we've defeated like six or seven bosses or something like that. And it's like, it's a weird design. So like, it's not my favorite.
You playing that with other people? It's multiplayer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's two players. So it's the Game Boy's funny because I'm happy to add online, but it's like, oh, you're playing as a link cable. So it's basically like, you're linking your Switch and you know, my Switch and their Switch. And it's like, yeah, that's what we're doing. But yeah, it works out.
All right. I don't think I'll be checking that one out.
Now, it was because I don't think I shared this story last week. It was because we were going to play Gotham Knights because it came on Game Pass, and they were trying to, you know, because Gotham Knights, again, I get it, but I also hate it. It's one of those games where you have to like do like a tutorial before you have to do a few missions before it opens up to multiplayer. And they were doing that to kind of get ready, and it crashed like five or six times, and it just wouldn't let them progress. So they're like, yeah, we're just not going to do this because you can't. The game's fighting you.
That's fair. Yeah. That sucks too, because that was just added. And but anyway, Jeff, before we get to the other big game of the week, you finished Lords of the Fallen.
I did. I did get a little help near the end. So
yeah, you had to summon somebody.
Does it count? I got a fucking, you know, power player, OP fucking guy, rolled in, fucking took care of business in the final level for me. He's like, do you want me to hang back and, you know, just try to save you if the boss is killed? I'm like, dude, no, go in and fucking kill everything.
Like, beat him for me.
I had him run the whole last level with me because it was a nightmare. Like, it was just fucking nightmare fuel. Like, just fucking mobs of enemies everywhere. And he not only, like, he didn't... I just expected him to, like, run me through the level to the boss, but he, like, took me to every little corner and you know, made sure I got every little, like...
like, the cool gear and stuff.
Yeah. And then beat the game. And then 5 minutes after I beat the game... Literally 5 minutes, like before we were still chatting on Reddit. He's like, it looks like the patch is out. And I was like, what the fuck does the patch do? Like, they've been patching the game a lot and like working on it a lot. This is a big patch for console that came out right after I beat the game.
And this was the one I told you about last week, right?
About
New Game Plus and all that.
Fixing New Game Plus, because their original New Game Plus didn't have bonfires, so you basically had to run through the whole world to do shit. Like, made no sense, right? So they fixed it. They fixed it so that, you know, there's still bonfires in New Game Plus. Now, I guess if you do New Game Plus, there'll still be bonfires, but a little bit fewer. If you do New Game Plus, there'll be a little bit fewer. So, like, they upped the difficulty, not just by, you know, adding to the enemy stats and this and that, but through each subsequent New Game Plus, there's...
They take away...
You're going a little further. Yeah. But they also did other things like... and this is before the big patch. This is like a little patch. Like, there's an item you need to buy to set your own bonfire, and they reduced the price of that item by, like, half. You know? So that was... That makes it pretty easy to get those items. Like, you just go farm a place for like a second and
you have enough.
Yeah.
Got it.
The other cool thing that they added, well, they did fix a lot of, like, you know, they're in the hub area. If you would switch into the dark world in the hub area, like, this is the area where you're like, go to your blacksmith and go to sell shit, right? Like, if you went to the dark world in that, which you have to talk to one of the merchants, it would like break the frame rate, and I noticed that was fixed right away after this big new patch. But another cool thing that they added, and I'm taking advantage of this, and I don't think I've seen this done before, at least not in the Dark Souls games, where it's like, you're not doing New Game Plus, you're starting a new run on the same game. So, like, the enemies, like, attacks and health bars don't go up, you know, the enemies aren't harder. It's the same game you just played, but you have all of your progression and your items. So, like, if you can imagine, you've beaten one of these games, and you get to go back to the beginning and fight the first boss with, you know, your level. I'm literally a level 100 character right now, fighting the first boss. Pretty fun. I took that route. I'm gonna play through it again with just the same stats on everybody, but I am overpowered. I actually got through probably the first fifth of the game in an hour after when I started that.
Oh, that's pretty good.
So did not die at any. I fought like three bosses so far. Did not die in any of them. Some of them were laughably easy. Like, it's a good feeling, and especially like running through the early areas that were such a miserable slog through hell when you're first starting out and first learning and, you know, underleveled, and now it's just like, it's fun to explore almost. It's pretty neat.
Good. I'm glad that turned around for you.
Yeah. Lords of the Fallen, again, it's one I can't recommend. I don't know. It's like I said when I beat the game.
It seems like it's getting closer to being a recommend. So.
It is. And it's like I said when I beat the game earlier today, I think I said on Twitter, it's like, it will give you your Dark Souls fix if you're into that series. But it's just like, it's hard for me to tell, even if you're a fan, even if you're a huge fan of that shit like I am, it's hard for me to be like, yeah, go buy this at $70. Maybe not. But mostly at this point, it's due to the little technical things. Again, at the end of the day, if they fix all those technical things, do I think it's as good as a From Software Dark Souls? No, I don't. But it's pretty fucking close. You know, it gives you everything you want out of that type of game. So,
does its job.
Yeah.
Good.
I mean, I think it says something that I beat the game and I started playing it again. And I'm, a fifth of the way through the game again. When I have all these other options of new games that I paid money for, and I'm still playing this, so there's something there.
Good. Which did, I guess that speaks somewhat to the game I'm going to ask you about next, because. You said you kind of put Mario to the side a little bit to play Lords of the Fallen. Another big game came out, Spider-Man 2. You are the only one to have played any of it, I believe.
I am, huh? Shit.
Earl, you still don't have a PS5 yet, right?
Nope.
Yeah.
What? Didn't you tell me to buy a PS5? Weren't you one of those people? Or was it just Tony?
Maybe just Tony.
Probably Tony. Tony and Walt probably told you to buy a PS5.
I regret it. Why did I buy this thing?
Do you not like Spider-Man?
It's okay. Like, I'm not far into it to say much, but like the first impression, like the opening of the game, so to speak, like I was not into that whatsoever. And it goes to my point about God of War and kind of Sony games in general of like trying to feel like a movie, which just very much does at the beginning of the game. It's like so much fucking talking and cutscenes, and even when you're playing, it feels like a fucking cutscene. Like it starts with this big boss fight against like Sandman in New York, and it's like, it's not a boss fight. You're watching a movie of a boss fight that tells you what buttons to press, when to press them, and then the movie continues. Like, it's just, no, dude. Like, I do not like that. I'm done with this type of shit. And, you know, it gets better once, you know, the game opens up.
You can actually play in the open world.
Yeah. But, like, even still, I feel so guided by, like, this is what you have to do next, as opposed to just go play and have fun and figure it out, that, it's still, like, rubbing me a bit. Like, it's just, like, this type of game, and again, I reserve the right to change my opinion on Spider-Man. I change my opinions all the time. It's okay. Your opinion doesn't have to be set in stone. But
it has
this type of game bores me, dude. It's just, I don't know how people find this shit still. Like, it. There was a time when it was like, oh my god, it's like I'm playing a movie. That was like fucking almost 20 years ago, and to for that to be the type of game, like, it's just, I don't know, it's boring to me. Like, I'm not challenged, I'm not intrigued. It's just a game telling me what to do, which is not fucking fun, dude. Like, that's not, games should be about playing, about discovery, like, you know, exploration, tinkering, and seeing what happens. And this is just like, again, and I'm not as far as Spider-Man, not, you know, I'm just going off on a rant about games in general here. Spider-Man itself, once it gets going, the traversal stuff feels pretty fun.
That's not surprising.
Yeah. But, like, I don't know if it's more than what they've had before, because, like, now you have, like, this, like, wingsuit that you can pull out and kind of glide. I don't know if that was in the other one. I don't remember the other one well. Yeah. That feels good. It feels good being able to do that. Of course, when you're in the combat, there's all sorts of crazy fucking make you feel like Spider-Man. But all of these things, this is another thing I wanted to say about this game. I think this is the most controls on a game ever. Like, dear Lord, are you, like, doing L1 plus fucking this, L2 plus that, L2 plus R2, like, there's so many fucking combinations of buttons to do different things. I have no idea how I'm going to remember it all. I think, like, in order to, like, become really good at that this game, you have to, like, be invested in this game and playing only this game, because I don't know how the fuck I'm going to remember this. Chris, what were you going to say?
So I had heard that the controls are all a bit more complex than they have been. To the point where people that have played the other Spider-Man games were like, this feels really hard because they're not remembering what they need to hit. Whereas, like, in the previous two Spider-Man games, they were a little more straightforward. So that checks out with what I've heard.
There's just so much. It's like, it's cool because if you can remember it all, then you could really feel like you're Spider-Man and, like, you could do anything. Like, you could do crazy shit. You could shoot, like, I keep forgetting, oh yeah, I could shoot, you know, webs at people. Like, if you tap R1, you could, like, shoot, you know, kind of, like, wrap them up. And, like, but it's like, it's on top of, like, that fucking 50 other things that I could do in any combat encounter that it's just like, I don't know. And your tendency is just to mash fucking square, right? And then, like, dodge and stuff. But,
yeah,
you
know, like, I can attack.
Yeah.
Like I say, R1, like, to web them up was in the previous game, too, wasn't it?
It probably is. I don't think it's like a new.
Yeah, you could web them up previously.
But I just to make my point, like, there's just so much. If you hold down this, you could fucking launch them into the air and start an air attack. And if you could remember it all, I think it would feel like a really fun, like, power trip, and just like almost like playing Tony Hawk or something, where it's just like you're just fucking around.
Bringing together that, like, combos.
Yeah, and yeah. And I think that if I honed in on this game instead of, like, juggling this and, like, three or four of the other biggest releases of the year, that, like, maybe I'd be, like, I'd remember more. But good Lord, like, just in the first hour or two that I played of it, I'm just like, it's cool if I could remember all that. Like, I'll have to, like, pull up the controls, and there's just, like, a huge list of all these things you could do. But, yeah, I guess that's kind of, like, the, I don't know if there's much else I could say about it so far. I mean, it looks good. Like, on a technical standpoint, I think it, like, runs amazingly smooth. I don't think that the, like, the textures and stuff are all that, like, impressive, though. Like, it's a lot of flat gray surfaces and stuff. Like, I don't know. It looks cool because of how well it runs, especially coming off of Lords of the Fallen, which sometimes does not run well. You're just like, holy shit, I can't believe they could, like, have me fucking flying around and doing all this stuff, and it, like, just performs perfectly.
Yeah, and I mean, I think for Spider-Man, right, like, you want the animation of the character to kind of be the big selling point, the big visual standout. Like, you know, if some of the textures on the environment art is strong, it's probably okay. Because you want Spider-Man to be moving quick. And
it's a big open world. And when it's in motion, everything looks great. I'm just saying, if you like stop to like look at anything really closely, I don't think you'd be like, oh my God, this is like really, this is the next gen finally. Like, I don't know. the textures look like nothing. Oh, and I guess the other thing that I don't know how I feel about it yet is that you switch between Peter and Miles.
Yep.
Peter, right? Peter?
Yeah.
And I just don't know how I feel about that. I just like in games, like building up your one character. It was something I hope that like they don't try to do again in GTA. I didn't like that in GTA 5 that much. And like they do have like they have a shared skill tree where you're investing points into, but they also each have their own. I just don't, me personally, it's not something I love that when you're like building up two characters at once and switching between them. I like really focusing on my one character's build.
I get that. Are the skill points shared, or do like if you earn 10 skill points, like you have 10 to spend on Peter and then 10 to spend on Miles?
It's all in the same pool, but there's three different skill trees. You know, there's a shared skill tree, which is just like things that would help either or, and then there's ones that are like specific moves and attacks for them.
Got it. All right.
Well, how does switching between them work? Like, I think in the overall, there's just a button press or something like that, right?
I don't know how to. The only way I've noticed how to do it is when you're looking at an app on your phone that's giving you like missions from people, and it'll say like hit square to switch to Peter. And I actually tried. Like, there was a time they made me switch from Peter to Miles to, like, start doing this other mission in the city. And then I was like, switch to Peter. And I was like, you can't do that right now. But I don't know if that's how you do it, is by, like, pulling up the app on the phone, and that's how you switch between them. But that's the only way I've done it so far.
Okay. Because I know, I mean, like, story-wise, there are times where the story will switch between them, right? But, again, I think when they first showed it off, there were segments where like, you're playing as both of them at the same time. Does that happen often?
I don't know. You do kind of, you team up together to fight Sandman at the beginning, and I can't remember if they make you switch or not, to be honest with you. If they did, it's like a seamless thing where it's like 1 minute you're controlling one and 1 minute you're controlling the other. Like, they weren't making me switch between the two.
Oh no, that's what I meant. Like, I think it was more like you were switching between them. Like, oh, you start to fight a Spider, it's Peter, and then like, halfway through, Miles is up, and he's gonna. And then like in the boat where like, I think you're fighting Rhino or something like that, and you went to like Miles while Peter was chasing somebody down in the helicopter. So.
Yeah, but like. Yeah, I don't know. I'm assuming when you're like teaming up together fighting, like they choose, and because everything is so fucking scripted that they choose who is doing what. But when you're out in the game itself, I don't know how free you are to switch between the two. I just know that it's a thing that exists. Again, because I tried to do it once and they're like, you can't switch to Peter right now. And it was like, maybe because like, they want me to do this. I don't know. I think that maybe like the game has not fully opened up to me yet, if that makes any sense. Like, it's still like I'm on a very guided path. Hoping to like have it really open up, and I'm just doing like fun open world shenanigans soon, and it grows on me. But it's funny like how I got excited for this game, because now thinking back on it, I don't think I ever finished the PlayStation 4 one, the first one. Like, I wasn't as enamored by it as anyone else. And then all of a sudden I was like, yeah, I need a PlayStation 5 for Spider-Man 2. And it's like, I mean, obviously it's a solid game. It's well made, but I don't know.
And I understand your approach to it. I think there's room for a game like this. But that Sony style is very clearly how they want to make games. And it just doesn't work for everybody, right? Like, I think it's fine.
Sure.
It doesn't, like, not everything needs to to appeal to all of us. Like, I think I would, something like Spider-Man, you would probably be like, I want that to appeal to me though, right? Because, like, you know, it's a huge game and it's a big character. But Sony has decided they're going with this cinematic, interactive cinematic kind of experience. And that's just, that's how they make games now. So,
yeah. You know, and I might end up liking Spider-Man more.
Yeah.
We'll see. But yeah, just the you know, most of my like ranting about that has to do with the very opening of the game. And so hopefully it becomes more of an actual fucking game as it gets going. But yeah, I can't stand that shit anymore. The whole like, it's like you're watching a movie. Like you're barely controlling anything that happens. Like at some point you would rather
show me the cool stuff that you clearly can't figure out a way to program for me to play. Don't make me press X.
Like, yeah.
Just show it to me as a cutscene. That's fine.
And to me, the true like next gen shit is like make it all gameplay, but then like somehow make it always feel like cinematic. You know what I mean? Like, which.
And I don't think we're there yet.
Well, I hate to like keep going back to it, but I feel like Elden Ring got to that point where it's just like a dragon flies out of the sky out of nowhere and fucking lands right by you and fucks you up. And that's like kind of a scripted thing, but the way that plays out is not scripted. You know what I mean? Like, and there'd just be moments of awe in that where it was like totally organic, you know? Whereas here, it's like it really does feel like you're on rails. You're basically doing cutscene. Like you can move around a little bit, right? But you gotta hit square at this moment to trigger the next cutscene, essentially. And like that type of shit is just, I think it played out. But that's just me. We'll see. And I it's like you said, like not everything has to be fucking Dark Souls, but you know. I do think that this, like, the thing that, like, Sony's chasing after, I think is a little dated. I think it needs a little rethinking, but that's just
You're not the only one to kind of come around on that with them. Like, I really hope I like Spider-Man 2.
I think you will.
But, like, I felt that with the first God of War. I very much felt it with Ragnarok, which I did not finish. Like I have a love for the Spider-Man character, so it's possible that I'll just like overlook some of the stuff I don't like about it. But
well, and I think that the gameplay itself, if you could ever figure out all the controls, is probably it's pretty fun. Yeah, like it's like there's room to be creative when you're fighting mobs of guys, and like that is not scripted like a fucking boss fight. Yeah,
boss fights in quotes, like
yeah. Where with that stuff, like you could totally go bonkers. It's just like for trying to remember the buttons. And I think like at some point I have to like I said, hone in on just playing this game, but juggling the other two platformers.
So much stuff to play right now.
Dude, it's God, I wish you know, we did get stuff in the summer, but like I don't know, there was Diablo in June and then it felt kinda dry after that, like, I don't know. Couldn't one of these games...
Yeah, I mean, it was Diablo in June, then we got, what, Sea of Stars at the end of August, and I guess Pikmin was in there somewhere, right? Somewhere in July.
Pikmin counts. Believe me, Pikmin counts.
Yeah, no, I'm not discounting it. I'm like, it was there.
Oh, like, but, yeah, like, some of these big, like, dude, come on, Spider-Man and Mario on the same day?
That's nuts. But I mean, to be fair to Mario, like Nintendo did release Pikmin in July, so they spaced it out a little bit for them.
By their own
Sony side. Hasn't had shit since
yeah.
last year. Have they had anything this year?
No. What God of War was last year, right?
God of War was last. I mean, Final Fantasy 16 in May or June.
Kind of for Spoken.
Forspoken, yeah, that was earlier in the year too.
Yeah,
but not that's like they're not Sony; they're Sony exclusives, but they're not Sony games or Square games.
I mean, this is probably their big game of the year, so I get them wanting to drop it where and when they did. I get it. But it just and it sucks for me.
Paid off. I mean, what was it, $2.5 million in the first
Day?
So,
what's up for the rest of the year, guys? Like, I thought I saw something. I thought I saw something in December that I was like intrigued by, but now I cannot remember what the fuck
Avatar is. Avatar is in December.
That's not the one I'm thinking of.
I don't know then.
There's Super Mario RPG in November, but then there's something in December that I was like, oh, or not in December. There's something really soon I'm curious about, and I don't know if you guys are curious about RoboCop.
Oh yeah, I want to try RoboCop. I've heard very good things about it.
Is it
I heard
it's like Game Pass.
It is not coming to Game Pass.
I heard it's trying to be like a sim, almost like an RPG or something, like. Like you could do police work in it.
Oh,
yes. Like there is so like you go out. It is from the couple of podcasts that I've listened to where they've talked about it. You play as RoboCop. Like there are standard shooting sections, like where you're shooting the bad guys, but then in between, like you're a cop. Like you're doing paperwork. Like they assign you a desk and like. You're booking people, and it's kind of goofy. Like, it seems like they have hit maybe, like, the absurdity of what RoboCop is. Like,
yeah.
Well, I was going to ask, though, because I don't even remember RoboCop doing police work in the movies. Like, he
interacts
patrol,
with...
Like, he goes on patrol, but like, he doesn't do paperwork or anything like that.
No, I don't think they ever showed him doing paperwork, but they do like have him doing dumb shit. Like it's like this is stupid. Like what is going on? Like because like RoboCop's not always going to be out on patrol. Like he is sometimes just walking around the police station and.
I don't know. It's a smaller studio doing this, right? Like
it's I believe it's the people that did that Terminator game.
It was surprisingly, was kind of like
Terminator Resistance. They did Terminator Resistance.
That game was like, it's nothing decent. It's nothing to write home. Did you play it?
I played a little bit of it. Yeah, I thought it's a decent first-person shooter.
And it kind of like had like Fallout things to it. Like it was kind of an RPG, and like you would have to talk to fucking people and shit in it. Like again, it was, you know. It was a budget game, but like decent, you know, like not bad. And that's interesting. I had no idea it was the same people. Yeah. You know, what's so funny.
Additional to that. And do you guys remember Rambo, the video game from like a decade ago? It was bad. It was a bad video game.
Yeah. It was like an on rails shooter.
An arcade. Yes. It was an on rails shooter. They made that as well. So like they're just they do a bunch of filler stuff in between, but like they seem to have a love for like 80s action stuff and they're licensing it and slowly making games of them, and they seem to be getting better each time.
Yeah, because that Rambo one I think was universally panned.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Terminator, people were like kind of like, you might want to give this a look, and then I finally did because I love the Terminator so much, and I was like, that wasn't bad. Like I played through it. The thing that was funny about it though is that my one coworker, like he plays video games, but he doesn't play like he basically plays like Call of Duty. And he like there's two games he's bought this year. One was Dead Island 2, which he never really talked about after it came out, so I'm guessing it was not amazing.
I mean, to be fair. Nobody else talked about it after it came out either. So.
But he was like coming up to me before it came out. He's like, "Dead Island 2, man, I got it pre-ordered," and I was like,
"All right, dude,
all right, yeah. Fun."
That did come out this year, didn't it?
Yeah. It did, yeah.
Oh man, we are. I'm hoping it comes to Game Pass at some point.
I want to play it.
It's one of those things though where you don't want like shit on what other people like or whatever, but you're just like you're kind of out of your element, like. Yeah, like a Diablo, like you know, he just doesn't know video games as much as he would like, I guess. But you don't want to discourage him from playing, right? So I'm just like, yeah, you know, I remember liking the first one. It was all right. But yeah, so that he pre-ordered that one blind, and I don't know how much he liked it or not. But then the other one today, or not today, but like the other day, he was like, dude, pre-ordered RoboCop. Like, it's like that's the big new game of the fall. I'm like, I don't know how to tell you, dude. There's like a new Mario. There's this and this and that, you know, like shit that people are like really excited about. And he's just like, dude, the new RoboCop. He's like, right, a little more older than us.
Great. Yeah, I love it.
We need to have him on the podcast.
But he actually started his own podcast recently, just talking about the movies he's seen. It's not bad, but it's just funny, like hearing someone who, like, you know what I mean? Like, they're like kind of like they play video games, but don't really know. And then they're just like he just assumes that this is like a big game that's coming out. And I was like,
what's amazing about that though is like. So RoboCop is like it's not a big game, right? Like,
no,
but that he even knows about it, like that's like impressive. Like that he has dialed in enough somewhere that he found out about RoboCop Rogue City. And
well, you know what? I've been getting ads for on my dashboard on Xbox. It'll be like pre-order. Like I am getting that now. Pre-order RoboCop. I think he probably saw it like that and was like, "Huh, okay. What's this?" You know. Maybe I should ask him, how the fuck do you know that? Because like, I think that most people do not know that there's a RoboCop game coming out.
Like, I know it exists, but I don't know much about it. I'm honestly listening there, and
all I know is kind of what Chris said. Is like, it's like you're doing first-person shooter shit, but then like you're doing actual police work outside of it, and that's what intrigues me about it. Where I'm like, I don't expect it to be... It looks
good enough.
Yeah, I don't expect it to be like this AAA amazing experience or whatever, but if I do get it and play it, what I'm kind of expecting is a decent mid-tier game that has this cool license. And like, hopefully they understand, like, it seems like they do get the license. Like, and they got Terminator too. They, like, understood that world and what was interesting about it.
And I like that. So, like, I mean, Assassin's Creed Mirage just came out. That was a. I believe that was also a $50 game. RoboCop Rogue City is a $50 game. Like,
yeah,
I like that there are. I mean, and $50 isn't like a huge discount, but it's like I like that there's this revival of B tier games.
Yeah,
and the budget pricing in a way.
Well, it's just funny though, because like. A year ago, if this came out like a year ago, it'd be the $40 game. Cause, but now we have the $70 games.
Now it's a $50. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but your point still stands, is that it's nice to get some of these games that are like in the middle. You know? Like,
yeah.
Not everything has to be the new Zelda or the new whatever, you know? Like, you could have
sometimes these are the most fascinating games.
Like, oh, yeah.
Because these developers are just going all out, like, and trying weird shit. So
I'm hoping. I love RoboCop so much that like it's kind of the same thing with Terminators. Like, I watch it out just because I love that license so much.
I am definitely interested in it.
Yeah, so that comes out soon, though, right?
November 2nd.
So next week. Starts?
Oh shit! Yeah, that's it's like November.
I told you,
I was like, it's a month away. No, it's a week away. Like, holy hell!
I told you, I've been getting things on my Xbox now for it, but I guess for the rest of the year, maybe that I'm probably because I did do the 2 voucher thing again for to get Mario. I might use the other voucher to get the RPG.
Mario RPG, yeah.
I'm on the fence on that because I don't know how much they're updating it. Because if it's just the graphical overhaul, like
it sounds like graphical
Link's Awakening was.
Yeah, it's also weird because I feel like I guess it's like a weird thing because it's like they are like Mario's been a big game. Like Wario's out next week, and I feel like that just kind of exists.
Wait, what's out next week?
WarioWare, the new WarioWare game.
Really?
Wow.
I think, so.
I didn't even know there was one.
Well, was, I mean, that's on you.
I like WarioWare. Yeah, I'm a fan of the series.
WarioWare Move It, November 3rd.
What the fuck?
But yeah, I feel like that game just, because again, they're still not really done promoting Wonder. and then RPGs like 2 weeks after that. So like in the span of 4 weeks, they have three games.
When they go, well, I mean, they have supported their system this year, but yeah, that's crazy. I just somehow did not know that there was a new WarioWare. And I'm kind of on the fence because I think the last one I bought and I couldn't get anyone into it, like into playing it with me. It's weird, like the party games that stick or that work with people, and it just seems to be Mario Kart and that's it. At least in my circles. It's just like Mario Kart or go fuck yourself.
People like what they know.
My stepdaughter actually really loves Mario Party, and so do I. So me and her will sometimes like try to get everyone, like, you know, her boyfriend Mario Party. Like, let's all play Mario Party, and like we're the only ones. Like they're like, my wife specifically is like, fuck Mario Party. That game is fucking bullshit. So it's just like the only thing that anyone can really agree on is Mario Kart. I hate it. I don't like being stuck in Mario Kart. We tried to get them to play Vampire, like, you know, so me and my wife love Vampire Survivors. Couldn't get them into it. Like, they were just, what is this? This looks old. This looks stupid, you know.
Which, you know, Vampire Survivors is one of those things where I think you need to do, like, three or four runs.
Before it hits.
And it starts to click, yeah.
Because the first time Melissa played it, she's like, you like this game, why? And now she's probably put in hundreds of hours into it. She's going after every achievement in the game. And cool. It's on a system that does not have achievements. She's just doing it.
Oh, she's playing on Switch.
Yes. But she's like, you know, I'm at 112 out of 140, you know, whatever it is.
Yep.
She's going after every single achievement. That's the thing. Like once she does get into a game, she is that person. I have to like fucking dig up every rock, look under every rock in this game. but it's just funny because like it was one where like I knew playing it that she would like it because I'm like, she likes Diablo and this is kind of like something like that. You know, it's not, but it is. I'm like, I think she would really be into this and. First time I made her play it, she's just like, "Yeah," and I was like, "Just give it a chance." Like, just like you said, it's like it takes a minute for that game to click for whatever reason because it's kind of new. Like, you're like, "What is this?" Like,
and it's dumb, right? Like, because it's counterintuitive because like you're not attacking, you're just walking around, and it's like it doesn't make sense the first few times you play. But once you start like powering up and getting really powerful and making longer runs and like shit's just blowing up on stage, it's awesome.
This is the greatest slot machine ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, that game was just fucking great. The game was fantastic.
So I mean, that's really like, I mean, you got Super Mario RPG, it's 17th. You got Call of Duty somewhere in there.
Oh, yeah.
There's that. And Avatar Frontiers of Pandora is in December, so.
Which I think that game could be good, too.
Okay. Yeah, looks decent.
But yeah, I guess there's a decent amount of stuff still. I don't know, I don't think there's any, like, a game with your contenders out there out of that. You know what I mean?
I mean, I say that. I mean, I don't get you. Who knows what Avatar ends up being.
It's not going to be a game of the year. Like Chris said, it looks like a Far Cry riff or something. Like, you know, it could be decent.
I mean, maybe it surprises us. But yeah, I mean, who knows out of the stuff that's still out there. But I don't think we're going to get anything like Mario, Spider-Man, Alan Wake. Yeah, that's crazy. That's nuts. That's absolutely nutty.
And then Sonic existed in that time period.
Jeez, wow. Yeah, just the fact that like Sonic gets And like, by all accounts, you know, Jeff has said Sonic is a very good game.
I think it is. I think it got the shaft, man.
But it just got shit out at, like, it gets three, like, 90-point games, and it's like, that's crazy. It's going to be hard to get any traction, you know, if you're going up against what all three of those games probably end up on, you know, the Keeleys. As Game of the Year contenders. So. I guess we'll hear about that soon, right? That should be.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for what we've been playing. I mean, I've talked about Forza the last couple weeks. So I don't need to go into much more detail there. So yeah, more Mario next week. Assassin's Creed Mirage when Tony returns. I will have probably some Alan Wake 2. Might try and fit some other stuff in there. There's a couple like little spooky games I think I could try and finish before the end of the month. So,
I mean, I will say this again next week. I am here next week and then gone the week after.
Yep.
Actually, so, I guess I didn't realize this. Yeah, I will be gone next week. I'm going to be in Tennessee for a wedding.
Oh, okay. That's
cool. Fucking fuck.
Doesn't sound like you want to be going.
No, I don't. I mean, they're friends and stuff, but I just wish they would have came up here for the wedding instead of like they moved to Tennessee a couple of years ago. You know what I mean? And they're like, hey, everyone come to Tennessee. Like, everyone you know lives fucking 10 hours north of you. And we all
driving?
I guess. Yeah.
Well,
anyways.
Enjoy.
Chris, I don't know if you want to try to knock out our movie show before then.
When do you leave?
I leave Wednesday. So, like, it would have to be Tuesday. If you can do Tuesday. Otherwise, we'll do next week.
Tuesday's Halloween, but I can do Tuesday after Halloween.
Yeah, I think I can, too. People. It'll be a Halloween-themed episode.
Yeah. Yeah, we can do that. Not related to our show here at all, though. It's a different show.
Unless Chris, sorry to like keep going to scheduling things. But if you want to do Monday, that's possible as well. But
I can't do Monday. I do have a concert Monday, so
okay.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be back before late on Monday.
Okay.
We'll figure it out. And you know, I guess scheduling wise, this is good. This will be up Saturday if you're listening to it now. So. On Halloween, I'll put up the new VG Club, which is Resident Evil 2 Remake.
Yeah,
which Javi suggested that for us to play. So
it was like there,
talk that.
It's like, have you heard of this game, Resident Evil 2?
Which and is funny, like, yes, but
I won't play that.
I love Resident Evil 2. So does Javi. It was interesting to hear people that like don't like horror games try to play it and
found
it scary and stuff, and I thought it was interesting that people were like, but they liked it. Like
they make it through the game or
Paul spoilers. Did not Daxter did not make it through. I think he made it through the police station.
Okay.
But like, you know, they all tried it and but it's interesting to be like they found something scary and it's like I don't really find Resident Evil scary.
I mean, what would be interesting to me is just hearing someone discover that game, which I think is just an incredible game.
It is like that, you know, they kind of all made the connection that clearly it comes from a lineage of adventure games and you know, it's not necessarily about the action, although the action works in Resident Evil 2, especially the remake.
Yeah, very much. It's just weird to me. Like, I just assume everyone knows and has played that game. You know what I mean? Like, and if someone going to it like it's brand new to them, I will I'll listen to that and check it out. That's cool.
Yeah, so that'll be up on, I'll publish that on Halloween, and then as you know, Jeff mentioned, we'll be doing recurring nightmares. That'll probably go up. It won't go up on Halloween. We're going to record it on Halloween, but it'll go up before the end of that week. So some stuff coming up for y'all to listen to. And we'll be back next week. Jeff, say good night.
Good night.